My guest today is Alicia Eppinga, the principal cellist of the Grand Rapids Symphony, but today we're talking about a chamber music concert. In fact, the final two concerts of the Chamber Music Festival of Saugatuck coming up Thursday and Friday at the Women's Club of Saugatuck. Alicia, it's really nice to touch base with you once again.
Well, thank you for having me. Nice to talk with you.
Alicia, how long have you been performing at the Chamber Music Festival of Saugatuck?
I've kind of lost count because, you know, who's counting when you're having fun? But I'm going to say something like 15 years that I've been involved.
That's a lot of concerts and a lot of great music. The concerts this week, they're kicking off with such an important work for your instrument, the Rachmaninoff Sonata for Cello and Piano in G Minor. I'll bet you were happy to see that on the program.
Absolutely. And I'll let you in on a little secret about this piece. A cellist doesn't usually go up to a pianist and ask to play this piece. It's going to be the other way around, where the pianist will say to a cellist, ask the cellist if they'd like to play, because it is really, really big for the pianist.
Is that because Sergei Rachmaninoff himself was such a virtuosic pianist himself?
I think absolutely that's the case.
So for a pianist, they have to be willing to put in a lot of preparation?
Absolutely. If you look at the score, you see a bit of a difference between the cello part and the piano part. The piano part is just moving all over the place and kind of in constant motion, and it's not always just accompanying the cello by any means. So it's very equal, if not even a little heavier for the pianist.
So tell me about why this sonata works if it has this, you know, seeming imbalance.
Well, I think that the reason it works is because the cello part, though it maybe doesn't have the kind of technical flair that the piano part does, it is so incredibly expressive. And Rachmaninoff wrote this piece for a very dear friend of his that played the cello and was, in fact, so dear to him that he was his best man at his wedding. And this cellist was also loved by Tchaikovsky and many other Russian composers at the time, and he was known for his incredible expressivity. And so that's really what this piece is for the cellist, is these soaring melodies, it's just is so perfect for the cello and the right ranges for the cello, and the melodies are so well suited to this instrument.
Well, who are you partnered with? Who is the pianist who took on the challenge of playing Rachmaninoff's part?
I'm playing with my very good friend Drew Lee, and he and his wife Jenny are the artistic directors of the Chamber Music Festival.
And he's rather a marvelous pianist himself.
I certainly think so. I was really excited when he asked me to play this piece.
Then we hear pieces by Edvard Grieg, and you really can't complain in that area either. A very famous composer who somehow is still deserves even more recognition.
That's right. He was, Grieg was, it was interesting. He was widely popular during his lifetime, and because it was just, he just sort of created these wonderful, usually in miniature sort of pieces that just sort of hit home with everyone, especially Norwegian people, because he really believed in the nationalist movement there and really wrote for the people. And he sort of went into fashion a little bit after his death. People kind of thought, well, it's not really very fashionable anymore. But I think because they're such gems that it's just come back, and we all love Grieg's music.
He was a true miniaturist. Those lyric pieces are so beautiful. And if you look at some of this famous piece you're playing, the Peer Gynt Suite Number 1, it breaks down into perfect smaller pieces. Would that include some of the tunes like In the Hall of the Mountain King or Anitra's Dance, that kind of thing?
Right. And we are doing Anitra's Dance, which is fun. And I think there's something like 33 small pieces that are part of the Peer Gynt Suite, because it was written for a play. So it's in many little parts.
The Peer Gynt Suite is something I know as an orchestral piece. How is this scored for chamber group?
Well, we have to thank our violinist, Adam Lieber, who will be playing with us this week. And he took it on himself to work out a way for just 11 string players to cover everything. And he didn't change any of the music by any means, but he just helped us with a little bit of orchestration because we've got 6 violins, 2 violas, 2 cellos, and a bass player. So he's worked out both of that and the Holberg Suite to work for that combination.
Well, congratulations to Adam Liebert. That sounds like a lot of work.
Absolutely. We haven't played it. I'll be playing it in about half an hour for the first time. I'm looking really forward to it. I think he put in a lot of work, and I think he enjoyed it.
Does it help when you're an experienced musician and you just know these melodies already and how they go when you're putting music together?
I think so. And I think everyone on the stage is a well-experienced musician too. So I don't see it as being a very difficult process.
You mentioned a second piece by Edvard Grieg, the Holberg Suite, which I have seen in our library as both a piano piece and a fuller orchestrated piece. And do you know any of the history behind the Holberg Suite?
Well, Holberg was also a playwright, just like Ibsen, who was the playwright of Peer Gynt. But Holberg was also a philanthropist. He was a professor of history and metaphysics, and he was an incredibly important person for the Norwegian people. And on the 200th anniversary of his birth, which would have been 1884, the town of Bergen, which is home, that was home to both Grieg and to Holberg, they wanted to have a spectacular outdoor celebration to honor Holberg, and they asked Grieg to write a grand cantata. Well, as you've already mentioned, Grieg was a little bit better as a miniaturist and not so much writing a big grand cantata, say. So he sort of opted to take on the job, but what he did is he took a piece that he had already written for piano. So that's the piece you know of, mm-hmm. the piano version of the Holberg Suite. And he took that, and then he orchestrated it for string. So it was a string orchestra version of a previously written piece. But these are all forms that are from Baroque dances, and that would have been from the time of Holberg's life, that style of Baroque dance.
Well, the program again features the Sonata for Cello and Piano by Rachmaninoff, Opus 19, starting off the program. Then the Peer Gynt Suite Number 1, Opus 46, and the Holberg Suite, Opus 40, by Edvard Grieg, and both arrangements by Adam Liebert.
Yes.
Could you tell me a little bit more about Adam? He is a violinist with the Grand Rapids Symphony.
He does play with us, and he was born in Grand Rapids. I know his parents still live there, but he lives in Chicago now, and he does a lot of playing in various with various groups, and he's just been a great friend to all of us, even though he doesn't live in Grand Rapids. But he's really become a good friend of many of the Grand Rapids Symphony players.
Now, since you have been part of the Chamber Music Festival of Saugatuck for maybe 15 years, you know the routine and the schedule really well. What are some of the things about the week in which you perform that you always look forward to when you're scheduled to come back again?
Oh, well, I mean, I kind of really enjoy just coming to Saugatuck, honestly. That's really nice. but I think that, you know, there's an intimate quality about the building for those of the listeners that have been to the concerts. And there's something about it actually being empty that's really neat because it's still small. And it's like we just have this little place to ourselves. And it's just a really great feeling, I guess, an ambiance that's really nice here. And I also really love that I get to play with people that I may not normally play chamber music with. It's just, I almost never know who I'm going to end up playing with. You know, when I'm asked, I just say yes. And then I kind of find out later who it is that I'm playing with. And so there's often a surprise. And of course, often I play with the same people too.
Alicia, what are you looking forward to in the next season of your professional life, either with the Grand Rapids Symphony or special projects you have planned out for the next year? What are you looking forward to?
Oh, you know, it's going to be a big year. I'm going to be starting off with a recital at Hope College in September. And then I will be doing some chamber music with some other friends, both from Hope College and Calvin and Grand Valley. I'm also going to be playing with Jenny Walvert and Drew Lee, and we are doing the Beethoven Triple Concerto, and we are doing that with the Holland Symphony in April. So that will be a big highlight for me this year.
And then, of course, solo after solo in the orchestral concerts.
Well, yeah, they just sort of pop up all over.
It's been a couple seasons now with the new conductor of the GRSO?
Yes, Marcelo Leninger.
How is that going?
Oh, it's going wonderfully. I think we're definitely, you know, on a honeymoon with him right now, and it hasn't let up whatsoever. He's a wonderful musician, a wonderful person, and he's just making us sound like a really good orchestra. I could go on and on about him, but I don't need to do that. But we all really love him.
Well, it's well worth getting out and hearing live music in a chamber music setting or orchestral, especially when Alicia Eppinga's in the room. Thank you so much for talking with me about this week's final concerts of the Chamber Music Festival of Saugatuck. Break a leg.
Oh, well, thank you so much. I'll just try not to break a string.